Hey, what's going on? This is JD. Well, you know, what should we talk about today? I mean, I had a wonderful day, I must admit, here in Houston, Texas. I thank the Lord that the storm did not come through here like it did in some other parts of the South. They had a storm. They had people down here buying up everything and trying to board up stuff and all that to counteract what God's going to do. But Dave, let me tell you something. When God moves his finger, there ain't no kind of preparation you can have. All you can do is just pray and hope that you stay covered by the Lord, because God's going to do what he's going to do. But we thank the Lord that Houston, Texas was not as affected, as they said it was going to be. Now, I do feel sorry for some of those other counties and parts of Texas and Louisiana that were affected. Some of those places they showed on TV looked like little matchsticks that looked like tornadoes had gone through there rather than a hurricane. But, you know, we thank God for the mercy and his grace that he bestowed on Houston this time, because we've had some terrible storms, that's for sure. Do you remember any of the real bad storms, Queenie?
Yes. Katrina.
Was it the same? No, it wasn't. Now, it was no Tina, but it was definitely an Ike. I remember Ike came through here and whooped us like he did Tina. That's for sure.
And the crazy thing was, they told us the exact way I was about
So you became a celebrity that week?
Yeah.
And catch me and check me out. I know that's right. Where's old Trainer Ray? Is he on here yet?
No, he's not on
here yet. Oh, okay. Well, that's fine. I mean, you know, he may be dealing with something up there in the dirty Mississippi. You know, that old storm will sweep down through there, too. It definitely ain't immune to hitting Mississippi, because that storm gonna stay a storm for a while all across the lower southeast United States. But let's talk about the fact that I had to go to the dentist today. I don't wish that on anybody. Let me tell you something. The dentist is a necessary evil. You know, when your mouth ain't right, your life ain't right. So I had to go to the dentist today, y'all. I haven't been to the dentist. I'm almost ashamed to say it's been well over a decade since I've been to the dentist. One reason for not going to the dentist was insurance. First of all, I have been an independent contractor for about two decades.
Wait,
Yeah, I'm a barber. You know, I don't punch the clock nowhere. All day I punch is some clippers. And so, you know, it's not easy as a entrepreneur to always secure some insurance. But I luckily have a nice insurance plan right now that allows me to go get my mouth fixed. So I took my behind in there and got rid of some teeth that needed no more to be in my mouth. So I got rid of those, and I'm glad to say that it was not a horrible experience as I can remember in the past. It was actually quite painless. So I'm glad to say that those teeth are gone, and I got one other one that needs to be yanked up out of my head. And when it's gone, that'll be complete, and we'll start getting some new ones put in. Because let me tell you something, your mouth health. Mouth health is pertinent to your entire body health. So you want to keep your mouth, you know, taken care of if you can. Well, let me tell you something. Your auntie was right. You know, in theory, you want to keep all your originals. But let me tell you something. When they got insurance that'll take out the old and put in some new, I'm going with the insurance plan and getting out the old and putting in the new. The new can be just as good as the original. The technology nowadays can get your mouth just right back right again. So I'm going with the right back right again theory. So that's what we'll be doing in the next couple of months. But enough about me and my little raggedy mosh, so to speak. I want to just talk about a topic that I saw on Facebook this week, and I thought about it, and I did not really know how to answer this question, but I'm going to give it a shot, and let's see what others' opinions are about this. The question was, if you and your significant other, your wife, are riding and you go pick up your mother-in-law or go pick up your mother as a husband, if you and your wife are riding and you go pick up your mother and take her somewhere, who rides in the front seat? Now, that is a question within itself that baffles the world. What? You gonna do what?
All right. Well, I wanna say something. First of all, that's not a question. No, I'm just playing. It just depends on the two people. If you're dealing with a mother-in-law that's dealing with some ailments and stuff, 9 times out of 10, you would get out and let her get the first seat. Now, if you got an overzealous, boisterous, disrespectful, rude mother-in-law, you know, that don't like you or whatever, she can sit in the back seat. But sometimes it depends on that husband you got. That husband you got may worship his mama, you understand me, and not care too much for you. Or he may say, baby, let my mama sit in the front seat, put you in the back seat like Lux. It just depends on the scenario, I don't think it's a big deal, honestly. I jump out the car. My mother-in-law, I jump out the car and let her get in the front. My mama, I jump out the front because I'm probably going to go to sleep in the back seat anyway. So it's all good. I've been wanting to be, I ain't going to lie to you, in the back seat for a minute. First of all, because my husband is visually impaired. And sometimes it's better for me to ride in the back seat so I won't side seat drive.
So you got to bring that up, that your husband is visually impaired. Boy, that's tough. But anyway.
Did I say that out loud?
Yeah, you said that. Realize everybody all over radio land with your mess. But the thing about it is, I agree with your assessment of this situation is, because I think that there are a lot of variables that have to be taken into consideration with that question. One, like you said, being the relationship between the mother and the daughter-in-law. Second, the relationship between the husband and the wife has to be in consideration. Thirdly, the relationship with, I don't know, it's just a whole lot of mess going on with that. Because you have some mother-in-laws who come with the arrogance that they come first and they above the wife and all that. I'm not one of those people who believe that the mother comes before the wife. The wife, once a man takes a wife, she is his number one priority in the world, period, next to God. You know, she comes first above all other women, above all other people. You know, the Bible tells you that once a man takes a wife, they no longer are two people. They become one. So how can, go ahead, I'm sorry. What were you going to say?
But you know what, so cold-blooded about it, like we just said about the dynamic of the relationship between the mother-in-law, the mom, the husband, you know, the whole dynamic. It just depends on the situation. Like I say, you may have a mom that's 70, 80 years old, you know. She might tell you, baby, I just want to ride in the back seat. She might not want to ride in the front seat. And then, out of a courtesy, like I say, she might want to, but it's sad, this is my point, it's sad that we would even have to put the whole Bible, the whole entire study on the marriage, on the topic of the front seat. But sometimes it is that way when it comes to that relationship between that husband and that wife. Because especially like you dealing with some in-laws that are out of control and disrespectful, you know,
well,
you may end up in a position.
Yeah, it's something. Some in-laws are more outlaws than in-laws. But
come on, you better breach.
You got some in-laws that really are outlaws, that are out to destroy your marriage, out to cause confusion in your marriage as often as they can. And usually the biggest outlaw in the family is the mother-in-law. You know, because she don't probably think that nobody's good enough for her rotten rag in the sun, when she really ought to be glad. When she really ought to be glad somebody's out here trying to take care of this fool that you can raise. But, you know, usually them sons be some piece of work, and I don't understand how you don't think nobody is worthy of this piece of trash that you raise. You know, so. Me being a barber, I have seen some of the foolishness that goes on in the dynamics that happen in marriages and in life, you know, life period. Because let me tell you something, as a barber, you become a psychiatrist, a psychologist, a psychoanalyst, and everything else, because people will come to a barber shop and tell you things that they won't tell nobody else in this world. They will sit there
and you know
and
what?
Uh-huh.
And you know what? You're right. You become all of that. And sometimes you just become a mute or a mime, because some of that stuff they come through that the men be talking about, even in the beauty shop that the women talk about, you just have to say, you know what? I don't even know what to tell you on that. You know, some of that stuff. But I wanted to say this, you know, as a woman that has been, because, you know, I've been married before. So before you, you have some sack of love. But I learned how to deal with in-laws. And I learned a long time ago that dealing with your in-laws ain't really your responsibility, you know, as far as respect. That's the person you married to that's supposed to deal with. There's no way I should be getting into it with your mama about respect. It really, really.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's no way I should be getting into it with your mom, or you should be getting into it with my mom. Like, my mama, she ain't disrespectful at all. You know what I mean? Towards our union. My mom, one of them. Now, don't get me wrong. She used to be that one to tell you and say it, and that's because I was married to a ratchet mess. But,
I love me some Sister Cook. Love her some JD. And just I live
that's
to it.
True.
And then you can buy.
But my point is, it's the person, your parents are your responsibility, you know,
right.
And your spouse should not have to go into an outright battle every time. Let me tell you something. I've seen married couples where when the in-laws come over, they go in their room and close the door because they don't even want to deal with them, you know, but that's your
right.
Family. So in order to for you to have time with your family, they go in their room and let you have a house, you know.
Well, let me explain something to you that I have learned as a husband, as a son-in-law, as a grown man. Let's just say it, leave it at that. That first of all, you should never make your mother and your wife feeling like they are in a competition. See, you have to, as the husband and the son, you have to set the tone for your marriage and that relationship. And the reason why you do that is off the bat, you let your wife know that she is number one, and you let your mother know that your wife is number one in your life now. See, once that groundwork has been established, there is no more competition. You know, when you waver and fence and treat your mama like she your girl and your wife like she your girl, then you got a problem coming. They both going to feel like they your girl and they on an equal playing field. You know, if you set the standard, the female hierarchy in your life needs to be known by every female. That's including sisters and all the other female relatives, because let me tell you something about women. Women always compete with one another if you allow them to, make them feel like they have to. But if you make your woman feel like she has no reason to compete for your attention, then that will never come up. That's just the way it's worked for me. I'm not no expert or nothing, but I do know how to keep the peace in my life, and I have done that thus far, and I'm going to continue to let it be known, because you have to set the groundwork for that foolishness before it even rear its ugly head, because it's going to pop up, or they're going to try you.
Well, I like the way you said that, but I'm going to be real with you about me. I guess it's because I've been through so much dealing with people and in-laws and outlaws and half-laws and wannabe-laws. I honestly don't care. I don't care. I'm like this. If a person is so engulfed with their family and you are basically the wife, what do I mean? You are the person that for example, me and you. I'm just using a safe example, not saying this is true. That's my disclaimer, y'all. Say, for instance, you were so enthralled with your family to where every time I come around, I feel like an outsider. So I'm just going to sit over and let you enjoy your family. You know what I'm saying? First of all, I already know there ain't nobody really concerned about me. You know what I'm saying? I'm one of those type of people, I learn how to adjust. I learned how to fit in. First of all, because I'm not there for the family. I'm there for you. You get what I'm saying? And in certain situations that I have been in, I had to learn how to be a part of people's family and what part I play in their family. First of all, and let's be honest, the husband can stand up for the wife all he wants to, okay? But the family is still going to treat the person like they don't exist. And I'm going to tell you why. For example, if you're that person and you notice it, you go around the family. The family is just so enthralled with other people that join the family. When you come around, they can't stand you. Or they don't even talk to you. Or acknowledge that you're there. You know what I'm saying? You can leave. They wouldn't even know you left. You know? But it don't change the fact you're in love with who you're with. Now, what I suggest for those of you that are going through this type of situation, stop making your spouse go over into them uncomfortable situation. If you're going to go visit your family, go, okay, baby, I'm going to go over and hang with my sister. I'm going to go over and hang with my brothers. I'm going to go hang with my mama. I'm going to go hang with. Don't make your spouse go, because you know what it do? It makes a spouse resentful. It makes a spouse feel a certain way, not towards you, but just in that situation. They still love you. They just don't. You got to stop putting people in uncomfortable situations. You get what I'm saying? Now, right. If you love them, you'll care about how they feel. And you'll say, well, I'm like this. If the family don't like me, I'm cool. But you go over there and be a part of everything that they're doing, because I don't want your relationship with your family to change. I don't want it. You know what I'm saying? They don't have to like me or receive me or slip off.
Let me explain something to you, Queen. When a man takes a wife, his relationship with his family automatically changes because the dynamics of his family has changed. His family, his mother, sisters, and siblings, or whoever, you know, brothers, sisters, whatever, his mother, his father, and his siblings automatically have to start taking a back seat because the Bible says that two become one. And I'm not going to make my one that's in conjunction with me feel like a subsidiary of my life if I choose her as my wife. And my family has to just automatically understand that. And I mean, whether they do or they don't, they're gonna have to understand. And the thing is, there goes that competition thing that I talked about at first. You never make your wife feel like she's in competition with no member of your family, whether it be your mother, your father, your brother, your sister. None of that.
Okay.
She doesn't feel like they're in competition with
JD.
Okay, I'm
that's okay. I get all that. That's not what I'm saying. I get all that. But that's what they call in a perfect world. But I'm talking to the folks that's dealing with that, right? Okay.
Well,
yeah. Listen to what I'm saying. Yeah, he changed his pants, got a new pair of pants, and he walked different and all that good stuff. But what I'm saying is, if you are dealing with that type of situation, I'm saying you have to consider your spouse. You have to consider their feelings. You have to consider, and this is the crazy thing about it that people don't understand. You learn to compromise. You learn to do it. You learn to do it because I'm gonna tell you right now. I don't want to be the reason why a person don't go around their family. That's just to me. I'm talking about from my experience. to me, that's too much. That's too much, you know, to where you say, okay, this is my wife, and then, because then I got to make up for everything that you don't get, you know, from that bond you had. That ain't how it goes. I'm not talking about the mama and the daddy. I'm talking about just that family connection. You get what I'm saying? And there's some
right.
women that want you, and I'm talking about the flip side of the coin. It's some women that want you to give up your family. They want you to walk away from your family. Your family don't like them. You get what I'm saying? Because they are like that. What I'm saying is you got to, in all these different scenarios, you got to find common ground and you got to find peace when it comes to marriage. Or get a divorce. I'm just saying the alternative to it. Because you got some people that love their family. Love them. The love of, but everybody wasn't raised the same. Everybody, you know, you get what I'm saying? All I'm saying.
Right.
I'm not saying that a man should disrespect his wife or she feels like it. But if your spouse say, well, listen, I don't have no problem with your family, but I refuse, and I don't want you to be without your family. But I refuse to let me be a deciding factor in if you have a relationship with them. See what I'm saying?
Right.
But like I
right.
said, you got some people that are not mature enough to say, you know how they say, I'll sit this one out? You know what I'm saying? Baby, just call me after the barbecue. You know, just sit, let me know you made it to the barbecue, you know, or just let me know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm saying I'm that type of person because I would rather you go over and be with your family than me go over too, and I'm sitting over there just as uncomfortable as I could be. I mean, and about to literally just have a whole anxiety attack and walk out the door, go down the street, and walk home. I would rather you have your family. And because this is, what, 2 hours? You know what I'm saying? I can wait for you to come home for 2 hours. And I'm just saying, in a relationship, it has to be some compromises. It has to be some places where you agree to disagree. You, and what works for your marriage. But not to the extreme to where, it's just, like I say, it just depends on the relationship. Let me get off of that. It just depends on the relationship.
Let's come up. What other topic do you have this week, Queenie?
This just in. I just made that up, y'all. Look, it says second stimulus check. If a new bill is passed, now the bill must be passed. It says must be passed. In order for another Corona economic stimulus package or green light, a piece of standalone legislation for another direct payment. But they won't resume the conversation. Okay, anyway, so the conversation is being had about a second stimulus check. Now, and they say that if they approve it, which they won't get back on the topic till after the Republican convention, you know, after they finish their shenanigans, they won't be back on the talk about it till after the Republican convention. My question is, if they get together and they approve this, and they say this don't get here quicker than the last one, which, to me, I don't understand what quick means when it comes to the stimulus check anyways. But they say as soon as they sign it, like a week later, they'll be sending out checks. So my question is, second stimulus check, what would you do with it?
Wow. Put it in the bank. That would be my answer. And hold on to it for a second because you don't know where that next lump sum going to come from or if it's going to come because this economy is in a damn shambles right now, whether people want to believe it or not. Donald Trump and the Republicans have shook up this whole economy and headed us in a downward spiral back toward a recession, if not toward a depression. So we need to be careful about how we're spending, how we're stacking our coins, how we are allocating funds for different things, because you almost are one bad situation away from being, completely bankrupt, completely homeless, completely, you know, it's just a lot of turmoil going on right now. And a lot of uncertainty with this administration that we have in office right now. So my answer is put it in the bank and hang on to it, baby. And try to double it up. Invest it. If you're going to do anything with it, invest it in something that's going to get you another $1,200.
And see, that's what I'm talking about. Because first of all, $1,200 ain't a lot of money. When it sounds like it is, you know, when the first one came, it was amazing to everybody because it was the first one. It was the first one. Oh, and it was coming out of nowhere, and it was at an unscheduled time. And for any household, just like an income tax check, you know, everybody excited and out buying any and everything at Walmart, you know. But I feel the same way. You need to be investing that in some or putting it up somewhere, because the bottom line is the kids are at home. And let me tell you something, you buying them lunches, okay, unless you done got that little coronavirus food stamp blessing. You buying the food. You paying the extra light. You got extra water. I'm just saying.
Right. You right. Oh, all the bills increased during this coronavirus situation. All your household bills increased. Because everything is more concentrated on the household now. Like you said, people use more water, more lights, more food, more gas, more everything. And you are definitely going to see an increase in all of those household bills. So you better take that money and do something that's conducive to maintaining that household. So that is just, you know, that's just common sense. But the thing about common sense, it really ain't that damn common.
It ain't. Let's just be real about it.
It's gonna pray and see what the other end look like when we get there, because some of us ain't gonna know until we get there.
Because I'm gonna tell you right now, I know this is what's gonna happen, JD. The nail shop gonna be full. Understand me? I ain't gonna say the beauty salon, because now the beauticians come to your house and get you hooked up, or you go to their house and they hook you up. You understand me?
The
beauty supply. What'd you say?
They're gonna be in there buying them bundles, as they say.
Them bundles. Okay. Another thing, the beauty supply. Now I ain't being racist because I'm black and I know what I'm talking about. This ain't got nothing to do with white folk. This got something to do with my community, 219 Talker Center, on my community. So get up off of here thinking that this about you. I'm just here. Beauty supply going to be full, you understand me? And because I'm going to tell you, it's just like they tell you don't go to the grocery store home because you get a bunch of stuff that you ain't going to, you know. And then 2 days later, you ain't got no groceries. So you don't go to the grocery store hungry, okay? When you get your they tell you even when you get your paycheck, hold it 2 days. Hold it 2 days. So that that little hunger, because let's be honest, when you get a whole lot of money in your hand, something that comes over you, you forget that you need tissue, and you just lose your mind. So the best thing to do, the best thing to do is sit on it. Huh?
What's that?
Put that money up.
You need to push them, Mama? We say you need to push them.
No, we good. I'm just saying. Let's talk about it, but for real, honey, let's talk about it how when black folks, let me not say black folks, because white folks do this. Now y'all can include everybody in this one. When you get money in your hand, the first thing you do is think about all the stuff you don't need. All I'm saying. So sit down, put the money up.
Right.
And don't call folk and let them know you got it.
Yeah, map out a damn plan on what you're going to do with it, first of all. That's the best thing to do. You hold it for a few days and map out a plan and figure out what you're going to do with it. Don't go out buying impulse type stuff.
Huh.
Because that's what happens a lot of times when we get a lump sum. We do impulse buying, and impulse buying is retarded ass buying. Let's just be honest. Damn business buying.
Come on. Because, you know, doggone well, I see some black folks out buying stuff they know they're not going to use. You understand me? Yeah, man, I went out, man, bought me a surfboard. You live in Houston. What you need a surfboard for? What you need that for? Yeah, man, I went out, man, and got me another TV. Income tax just passed and you bought another TV. Come on, what'd you do with the TV from last income tax? Where's all these TVs going? Now, that's another topic right there. These income tax TVs and this income tax furniture that we be buying. But, you know, you didn't hear from me.
Right. Yes, we're right. Yes, we're right. But, yeah, that's gonna help a lot of households, though. I hope it happens. I hope it comes to pass. But I ain't banking on it just like I didn't bank on the last $1,200. You know, I'd rather keep on getting it while the getting is good, and let God keep on blessing my household like He has always done in the past.
Right.
And, you know, you got some people who gonna be sitting around waiting on that little raggedy $1,200. But hey.
And gonna have and listen, and Daddy gonna have anxiety attacks waiting on him. Gonna be so overwhelmed with anxiety checking that mailbox, calling the Social Security office, everything. Let me tell you something. I promise you that the Social Security office, they could pull a telephone record of the last stimulus checks. You had 150 billion plus people calling them saying, "Where my money at? Where my mama got hers yesterday? My sister got hers yesterday? My child, my 20-something-year-old child that got a job got hers yesterday. Where is my money?"
Oh yeah,
I promise.
That's gonna happen. They already know.
Okay, let's switch it up. I got another topic.
Go ahead.
I got another. All right, Kenosha, I think I'm saying that Wisconsin. Authorities on Wednesday said a 17-year-old had been charged with homicide after two people were killed and another seriously wounded by gunfire amid a chaotic night of demonstrations and destruction in Kenosha, unleashed by the weekend police shooting of Jacob Blake. Police in Antioch, about 20 miles southwest of Kenosha, said they had arrested Kyle Rittenhouse, I think that's his name, Rittenhouse, in the killings. The Antioch resident was charged with first-degree intentional homicide in Wisconsin. Authorities said, but they did not specify whether he was being charged in one fatal shooting or both. The shooting came as self-declared militia members and armed counter-protesters have appeared in the city, which is reeling from days of unrest. Authorities have not said whether Rittenhouse is a member of any of the groups. His social media feeds contain messages supporting the police and photos of himself with assault rifles. He had been a member of cadet programs for local police and fire departments, according to department newsletter and statement. This Lakeside, Wisconsin city became the latest locus of anger over police brutality after Blake, a father of five, was shot by police on Sunday, a recorded incident that quickly went viral and prompted a national outcry.
Right. That's the dude that got shot in his back seven times by the law, right?
Right.
Blake is. And the one that they talking about came out there with an AR-15, a little young white dude, and killed mm-hmm. him three. Well, he killed two and wounded one.
Mm.
And this little dude here is a damn fool, basically. That's what he is. I'm just saying out loud. He got to be a descendant of some Trump supporters, because they showed a picture of the little goofy looking little white boy, and they're like one of them damn Brinks security guard uniforms, trying to be a.
Well, listen to what else it says.
But he also had a damn blue state trooper type hat on, and this little white boy been in trouble so many damn times, and all those misdemeanor charges, they kept him where he was able to carry a firearm, but because they did not charge him with.
Exactly. Now watch this. It says the Wisconsin Department of Justice said Kenosha police were attempting to arrest Blake when Rustin Shishki, he named something else, a 7-year veteran of the department, fired his weapon 7 times into the black man's back. The first time officials had identified the officer who shot him. Ain't this a mess? The shooting left Blake paralyzed from the waist down, and it has become a flashpoint in the presidential campaign. Ain't this a mess? On Wednesday, it also touched the world of professional sports, with the Milwaukee Bucks, normally playing basketball less than an hour from Kenosha, declining to take the court for a scheduled playoff game in protest of police violence. Baseball and women's basketball games were also postponed, as players said they would boycott. The streets of Kenosha have been filled with peaceful mass demonstrations in recent days, but also demanding riots by night in which businesses have been looted and burned. Armed civilians, many were wielding AR-15-style rifles, took position near stores and businesses, saying they intended to fill a vacuum left by law enforcement. Some had stood near the gas stations. Wow. Where Tuesday night shooting began with a confrontation just before midnight. Cell phone videos from before Tuesday night shooting show police officers thanking armed civilians for being on the streets after curfew and handing them bottles of water. Officials said Wednesday that they could not comment in detail on the video. That's a mess, man.
Let me explain something to you that's about to happen. They finna start a damn race war. They keep this foolishness up. Black folks are getting sick and tired of being sick and tired. You know what I'm saying? Black folks are going to start lashing out. And I don't know if white folks want that, to be honest with you. I know they got a bunch of AR-15 and a bunch of all these and that, this and that. But they can't shoot but one damn gun at a time. And we coming to blaze. And I don't know if they want that. I don't know if they're ready for that, because I don't know if white folks know it or not, but they not they call us the minority, but we not the minority. We are the majority right now. We have more black folks in our communities than white. We are reproducing at a faster rate. White folks are fizzling out. They keep on, they're going to be non-existent real soon. If you ever start a race war, I guarantee you, we ain't going to have the best gun, but we're going to have the most damn guns, that's for sure.
Well, it's a lot of, like you say, it's a lot of racial unrest.
We'll be going in their house and getting their good guns and using them against them.
Okay, let's digress, because we don't, you know. Listen, I don't need nobody knocking on my door. Hey.
I'm telling you what
the peace and grace of God and the blood of Jesus is on the doorpost, but I'm just being real with you. My husband got a gun, period. Listen.
You're a damn fool not to have one, period.
Well, you know, like you said, look at the times we're in right now. You know, just
exactly.
Like on J.D.'s Mary Kay, we had Charles Bonner on there talking. When he was talking, it didn't sound like we're in such a different time. The only thing different is we can read now, and we got guns. You get what I'm saying? And we can stand up.
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
You want to do with that $1,200? Go get you something to fire. Go get you something to fire. Come out. If you want to do something with that damn $1,200 to help your household, go get you something to fire. Come out the end. Just in case this thing get a little too ignorant. If you ain't already got something, you better go get you something. That's all I can tell you. I'm a staunch believer in the Second Amendment rights. The rights to bear arms. I agree with that, and I don't want nobody to not be able to participate in their rights, the bill that they have in this country, to right to bear arms. All black folks need to get them some arms to bear. That's all I can say.
Well, like I say, this is the time that we're in right now. And now, the right to bear arms, and you need to get you some Jesus. I know people say, well, you know, Jesus ain't on this, that, and the other, but let me tell you something. God can allow the violence and everything to pass over your doorpost. I'm just saying. Listen. I believe that our household is covered and protected in the blood of Jesus, but just like my husband said, we do have the right to bear arms. I'm just saying. I'm being real. We have to function in wisdom. Now, not to just, and some people say, well, it's too much. It's too hype. Everybody putting too much on it. What you mean putting too much on it? People getting shot in the back. You guys, this man has been choked to death on the street by a police officer. Come on. Black man shot out in the middle of the street. Another one just, I mean, come on. Kids being killed. All kinds of stuff. Black children just because of the color of their skin. I think that everybody that got some color in their skin, you need to operate in some wisdom. That's all I'm saying.
Right. I agree with you.
These news reports are not going to stop.
Because no.
This report, think about it, J.D., it's reports right now. It's murders right now that's happening that haven't even been reported.
Right. Yeah, this is an occurrence. I don't know if we know it or not, but it's hunting season on black folks. And they doing it year-round. It ain't just a few months out the year. It's year round where your skin is your sin, and you need to be mindful of that when interacting with those other folks, with them clear folks. I'm not gonna say white, they clear. You know, them people is white is like a sheet of paper. Them people there is pink, clear, and all kind of damn colors.
Okay, all right. Yeah, it's pink, clear, transparent, all that. Listen, black families, black people, minorities, majorities, we really are the majority. Hispanic, Asian, don't think it's a black thing. Now what? Now, because when the racial war, to me, it's already started. You need to get yourself together. And what they call that lady, Karen and all that, they be going off on folks. You need to go back where you came from. Talk to Hispanic people. Talk to Asian people. They talk. So don't sit back and think that you better than black folk. You starting to realize right now how they feel about every other race besides white folk. So, and that's a topic for another show, all I'm saying. And if they really knew their history, they'd find out that everybody black. Let's move on. I don't wanna get nobody else too upset. All right. Well, it's about that time. We've come to the end of 219 the talk.
Uh-oh.
So JD, go ahead and sign off now.
Yeah. This is your boy JD the Barber. And I just wanted to say this has been a good talk, a pertinent talk to what situation we have right now. If y'all sitting around watching that RNC, that Republican National Convention, just look at the foolishness that's being displayed on that television and the idiots that come out of the woodworks for this Republican National Convention. Donald Trump still has a strong following despite all the lying, the hustling, the cheating, the stealing, the killing. We have a commander-in-chief in the office. Not a commander-in-chief. He's the commander-in-chief. He's stealing the whole damn country. He stole the election last time. Let's not let him steal it this time. Let's get out and vote. Let's get this clown out of office. Let's end this damn circus that we've had for the last 3 years, now going on four. Let's end this Ringling Brothers showcase and get this damn clown out of office. Get your behind up. Get your behind registered. Get your behind out there and vote. I don't care either. Hey, look, let me tell you something. This has gotten so crucial. It's really to the point where it's vote or die. We need to take each other to the poll. Hell, if you know your next door neighbor ain't got no damn ride to the election, hell, take them with you. Go knock on their damn door and say, hey, man, you voted yet? Don't ask them who they voted for. Just say, hey, man, did you vote yet? No. All right, well, get in the car with me. Let's go. We finna go up here now. I don't give a damn who you vote for. Just get out and vote. But I'm just letting you know it's time to get this damn clown out of office. So, again, 219 to talk. I appreciate the forum. I appreciate the opportunity to talk and discuss these issues. But black people, we got to get our things together, man. Back to you, Queenie.
All right, y'all. We love you. This song is, well, it's our first 219 The Talk intro, and it says freedom. So we'll talk to you next Thursday.
219 The Talk.
Talk about real issues.
Freedom.
Free your mind, body, and soul.
Life. Love. Relationship.
Freedom.
Let freedom become your home.
The real deal. You know what? Let's just get into it.
219 The Talk.
That diabolical snooze button. Seems innocent enough, but if you're not careful, you could be trading a day full of possibilities for 9 minutes of pillow purgatory. Because you gotta be up for inspiration to show up. Know anyone like that? Bank of Texas. We go above so you can go beyond. Bank of Texas is a trademark of BOKF, N.A. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.